2CC Richard Pernow podcast.
Luke Smith is going to tell us how we can save for the rest of our life. That's what it's about, isn't it, Luke?
It's about saving it up and then spending it.
Come on,
spend it.
Yes, it is. Really?
Well,
okay.
if you've got it, spend it. You know, within reason.
Oh, there are parameters in this?
Well, yeah, there's good, there's bad, and there's just flat out stupid. So
you know. I'd probably be the one of two of those.
It's like anything in life, it's give and take.
So.
You know,
it is. Let's talk about what we're going to do, and this is looking at account based pensions.
Yep.
What's an account based pension?
So an account based pension used to be called an allocated pension for the older people out there. It's basically just the action of taking money regularly out of the super that you've been saving up over your working life. So allocated pension, account-based pension, just think income stream.
Right.
So you can choose how you take it. It's basically the conversion of the money that you've been contributing and what your employer's been putting in over your working life.
Yeah.
If you think about it, it's like taking off the accumulation hat, putting on a pension hat, and that basically says that instead of the money going in, now I'm going to take some out.
Okay. But given that superannuation didn't come until the mid-90s, a lot of those who may be looking at retirement now may not have accumulated as much as the kids who were started in the mid-90s.
Correct.
Too.
Exactly right. So younger people are definitely ahead of the ball when it comes to what will happen down the road. So people that are more mature, we won't say older, we'll say more mature, they haven't had the same benefits because of time. And I guess that ties in with what we've talked about over the last 2 weeks about understand how to get money in there, understand your contributions and build up your superannuation base so that you can actually retire when you want and live the lifestyle you want to have.
Yeah, like you were talking about dates last week on the 30th of June. Look at putting some money before the 30th and then putting it on the 1st of July.
Exactly.
Think about
right.
how you can manipulate. Yeah. Because when super started, Luke, it wasn't 9%, 9.5% either. It was much lower than that.
Correct, that's right. And there's legislation been passed so that we'll see that grow incrementally over a number of years where I think off the top of my head it gets to about 12 or 12 and a
That's
half
right, yeah.
down the road, which for younger people will be great.
All right, so if you've got your superannuation,
yep.
when do you retire these days?
Well, it depends on how old you are.
Yeah.
So the government have come out and said that they'll tier anybody born before the 30th of June 1960, it's still 55, and then it tiers out on a rolling 18-month basis right up to 60. So if you're born after the 1st of July 1964,
yep.
you're earliest retirement age to access super is 60 years of age.
Yeah. But if you keep working beyond the retirement age, you're still collecting super.
For me, retirement is a state of mind. Mm. In that, for me, I say to clients, when you can choose to not do something, for me, you've retired. So if you could walk into your boss on Monday and go, listen, Johnny, I've had enough of you, pal. I'm out.
Mm.
And you have enough resources to fund your lifestyle and do what you want to do, and you wish to go back and do something of interest, then for me, that's the definition of retirement. A lot of people get caught up in retirement is the end. Retirement is professional death.
Yeah.
You're going to walk off the edge of a cliff. Or I think some clients think a door's going to open and they're going to go to a whole new world called Retirementville. And they actually wake up on Monday and they realise, well, hang on a sec.
Yeah.
I'm married to the same person. I have the same partner. I just don't have to iron 5 shirts. And the milk's still in the fridge.
That's
so
right. That's right.
You know, it's retirement
as you say,
is the perception.
It's a number.
Yeah. Look, it's the ability to choose when you stop working because you have to.
Okay.
That's
all. But the minute you stop working, you stop earning super, don't you?
Potentially.
Yeah.
You could also access your benefits and go back and do another job.
I was going to ask you, if you do decide to stop and then 6 months later you decide to start work again.
Yep.
Can you go into another fund or rejoin the super fund?
Look, yeah, it really depends on how you want to fund your retirement. But here's an example. You could work right up until today.
Yeah.
You could declare that you've retired, provided you're at the right age. Declare that you've retired, access your benefits on Monday, and then 4 or 5 months down the road go, that job looks interesting.
Yeah.
Go back and rejoin the workforce. Continue to receive your income stream from super.
Keep going with that.
Keep that income stream going. And then look at what you could do with those wages, which ties in with what we spoke about over the last 2 weeks between do I claim a deduction? Do I not claim a deduction? Do I use spare money to save into a tax-effective environment like super? So it's part of a planning process that never really ends because just because you stop work, it doesn't mean that you stop having jobs, you stop having interests, you stop having things that you may like to do.
Yeah.
You know, I say this to my father. I said, have you retired? And he goes, no.
No.
And I say, well, why not? You're 69, why not? He said, because if someone asks me to do something and I fancy doing it because it's of interest to me, then I'll do it. If they want me to do something else, and I think, well, no, nah, that's not really for me right now, I choose not to. For me, that's the definition of retirement for most people is, and Luke, can I choose not to do
that's
something?
That's right, but Luke Smith, you've said over and over again, take control of what you're going to do. Take control of your money.
So if you have things in the right structure and you have the ability to generate income and you have things structured correctly from a tax perspective, it gives you more choice to be able to say, do you know what, I'm sick of working here, pull the pin, find another job, and you're not worried about can I you know, pay for the groceries
so
on Tuesday.
So if you stop, you can start again.
Of course.
It's up to you.
I've got some clients working now at 75.
It's good, isn't it? Oh, really?
Because they like doing it.
Yeah, that's it. You know, getting up out of bed and going to work.
Yeah, some people actually like doing it.
Do you have to tell your super fund that you stop work?
Well, yeah, so I guess one of the key considerations that we'll come to is you've got to get your paperwork right, like we spoke about last week. And to start an income stream, you need to tell the fund that you are going to start to draw an income. And there are some ramifications from an admin perspective that we're going to talk about in relation to that. So it's very important that if you do start an income stream, there are a couple of key things we need to think about. One, get your paperwork right.
Okay,
that's very important because the fund, you have to declare that you've retired to start an income stream. Okay, so you need to be the right age. You need to get your paperwork correct. And the other thing you need to keep in mind is that when you start a pension, you are unable to add to its capital value. So we've got $1 million in super, I retire, I use that $1 million to start a pension, okay, and then a year later I go back to work. I can't add new money to that pension account. I may need to open a new fund, I may need to open a new account within the same fund, it depends which fund you're with. So there are certain benefits of starting a pension which we're going to touch on, there are also some admin requirements that you need to keep in mind. Yeah. When you're actually structuring how you draw your income.
Luke, how much can you draw as an income?
Well, you can draw and whatever you want.
So you can say, I want $200 a week.
You can draw $200 a week. You can draw $2,000 a week. You can draw $300,000 a year, depending on what your resources are and what you're working with. Yeah. As I said at the start, it's give and take. If you've got $1 million in the bin and you rip $100,000 out every year and it's taking out more than it's growing, your value is going to fall.
Sure.
If you structure your income stream to cover the majority of what you may want to live on, and then you can have some growth and protect the capital value of your asset base, great. Your money's going to last longer. You'll have more choice for a longer duration.
Mm.
So it's about being sensible and saying, well, can I? Yes. But is it in my best interest to eat all of my money up in the next 10 years and I go from 70 to 80 or 60 to 70 and at 70 I've got no money, you go,
No thanks, made a mistake.
Need to think about it and make sure that you've got your assets in the right structure and you're making the most of the pension, because one of the biggest benefits of a pension is that once you put that pension hat on, everything inside the fund is tax-free. I'll say that again. Everything inside the fund is tax-free. You don't pay tax on earnings inside the pension account, and you don't pay capital gains tax. So you could buy Commonwealth Bank shares for $50 and sell them for $100 down the track, no capital gains.
Free money.
Free money.
Wow.
Now, do that in your own name. You've got potential capital gains tax issues because you've got wages and things you need to incorporate in that. So one of the biggest advantages of structuring a pension is all the earnings inside the fund are tax-free and you pay no capital gains tax. Now, the tax treatment of income coming out of a pension, slightly different. If you're over the age of 60, no tax.
Okay.
If you're between 55 and 60, depending on how the money has gone in, will depend on how it's taxed coming out. So last week we spoke about non-concessional contributions.
Yep.
Tax-free going in, tax-free coming out. 2 weeks ago we spoke about deductible contributions. Taxable going in, taxable coming out under the age of 60. So now we're tying in what we've talked about over the last 2 or 3 weeks of get it in correctly so you can get it out correctly.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of thinking and some planning that has to go into what the contribution is to then get the right tax effective income stream on the way out when we draw a pension. It's not just a case of let's throw it in and get it in there. Let's think about how it goes in.
Yeah, an account-based pensions. Okay, what are the key takeaways from this?
So the key takeouts are, make sure you understand how the contribution has gone in. So understand what we call the components. Superannuation will have taxable and tax-free components in most instances. Non-concessional contribution, tax-free component. deductible contribution or concessional contribution from 2 weeks ago, taxable component. So make sure you understand your components. Make sure you understand what you need. Okay? Don't draw any more than you need.
Yeah.
Okay? And also check with your fund. See what the rules are in relation to the pension. Some funds say you can only have it monthly. Some funds say you can only have it quarterly. Some funds say, I want it weekly. If you've got a self-managed super fund, you've got a lot more choice because you're the trustee.
Yeah.
If you're in an industry fund or a retail fund, they will have specific frequencies that you have to adhere to. So make sure you understand what you're working with your fund. And the other one is make sure you maximise your tax-free contributions before you start the pension. Okay? Another big benefit there is if we can maximise the amount of tax-free money in the fund, it's very good from an estate planning perspective because tax-free in, tax-free out.
Yes.
And if we both get hit by the proverbial bus, it's tax-free to adult children. So that's
important
a
to
massive
keep in
impulse.
Mind, yeah.
Exactly right.
And if you, pardon me, like to talk to Luke Smith from Envision Financial, you can do that. Okay, Luke, we're talking about this account-based pension. Why would I want to set one up?
Well, I think most people want to be able to step away from the workforce and fund lifestyle. So people want to start pensions to increase the amount of money they can live on, replace wages when they've retired. It's also a way of trying to build in other strategies. So you could take a pension out, as we said earlier, return to work and then try and maximise your liquidity where if I've got a little bit of pension and I work 3 days a week, I've got some wages and I've got some pension, I can cover my living costs.
You can still have your pension.
Yep, that's
you
right.
You
may not need to work 5 days a week. Starting a pension could be a good way to say, well, I'd like to keep doing what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I'll only do 3 days, not five.
Okay.
Now, that's called a transition to retirement pension, which is a slightly different coloured account-based pension. But in that scenario, you can actually continue working and take a percentage of your benefit. So there are slightly different rules, but it's a good way to fund lifestyle and manage the work hours that you want to do.
All right, when do you do this? When do you start to say, I'm going to take a stream?
Well, if you're going to retire from the workforce indefinitely and say, right, that's me, I'm done.
Yeah.
You want to be able to access the accumulated assets that you have in your super fund. And one of the biggest misconceptions people have is that something changes in your fund. So you can have a whole portfolio of assets that you've got, that you've been accumulating over time, and instead of accumulating money or saving money, you stop doing that and then you start taking money. So all we're doing is we're using the income that your super fund's been generating each year to then access some of that to fund a pension. Another reason why people start an account-based pension is to help manage the tax from an estate planning perspective. So if you can lock in your super fund components as tax-free, because we've made non-concessional contributions from last week, if you lock that in, they maintain that status forever. So if you did die, tax-free in, tax-free out to the kids. Otherwise, benefits out of super are taxable to adult children.
Yeah.
So there can be, with big numbers, there can be big tax bills.
What are the laws, regulations? This sounds too easy, so there must be rules.
Well, yeah, there are a number of rules. One, you've got to notify your fund, so make sure you do that. Two,
I'm leaving tomorrow type of stuff.
Well, you've got to fill your forms in to say you want to take it. You must take the minimum under the legislation. Okay, so depending on your age, there's a minimum. Under 65, 4%. 65 to 75, for example, you must take a minimum of 5%. Okay, and so on. So the older you get, the more you've got to take. So you must adhere to that. Make sure you understand how your fund treats withdrawals.
What's that mean?
Okay, so if we're trying to meet a 5% minimum on $1 million, we've got to take 50 grand. If you call your fund up and say, I need 20,000 for a new car, they may or may not apply that $20,000 withdrawal
to
your 5%.
Okay.
So you don't want to take any more than you actually want to, because if you've got all your money in a tax-free pension, you don't want to accumulate money outside for no reason. So understand how your fund pays and treats your pension. Also make sure that you have checked you're not in excess of the $1.6 million transfer balance cap. So a variation of me saying it's tax-free in account-based pension, it's tax-free up to $1.6 million of total super. Okay, so this is a catch out there that people need to be mindful of. For those out there with CSS, PSS, DFRDB and MSBS pensions with the military, your pension counts towards the 1.6 limit.
Oh, all right.
So if you've got a $100,000 pension from the government, Multiply that by 16, you're at 1.6. Mm. We've got a problem. Mm. If you've got a $50,000 pension, you're at 800,000. So you can only have 800,000 in an account-based pension and it be tax-free.
Okay.
Anything over that, there's tax implications. So understand where you sit on the $1.6 million transfer balance cap.
Okay, let's do it all, wrap it up, summary. What's the takeaway from
this? Takeaways. Meet your minimums.
Yes.
Understand the legislation. Make sure you know how your particular fund treats withdrawals, okay, and manage your withdrawals to meet your lifestyle. Don't take out more than you need, because an account-based pension can come out weekly, fortnightly, monthly, or annually. So if you just need a little bit during the year and you need to top up your minimum in June, do so.
Okay.
Maximise the amount of tax-free money that's earning for you throughout the year so that you can get the most out of your super.
Rainy day stuff, isn't it, really?
Well, so for some people, rainy days today.
Yeah, that could be so too. Acronym.
Franking credits.
Franking credits. That does my head in when I hear that.
Well,
what does that mean?
I had a good friend of mine famously tell me after a meeting, who's Frank and why is he getting some of my money?
Yeah, that's right.
And the person out there that's listening, you know who you are. So a franking credit is just a tax paid by the companies that we invest in. So, for example, Commonwealth Bank, we hold Commonwealth Bank shares, they pay tax. What they do is they give us a credit for the tax that they've paid and they pass it on to the investor. Now, very important to take into the bigger picture here of account-based pensions. If you can maximise your franking credits, you can actually increase the amount of income in your fund because if you've got no tax to pay because your account-based pension is a tax-free structure, you get a refund. And this is what our mate, Mr. Shorten, wants to get his hands on. This is what he's talking
about.
Exactly, when he says
right.
surplus franking credits, he's thinking about the franking credits that are not soaked up by other
taxable income. That's what he wants.
That's what he wants to get his mitts on. So make sure you understand how your fund is generating your income, because if you're missing out on or not controlling your franking credits, you're doing yourself out of strong income every year, which adds up in retirement.
And that means you've got to really understand where your income's coming from.
Understand what your assets are and understand what you hold. If you're in a generic option somewhere in a fund, you may or may not be maximising your franking credits and you're missing out on income that could help give you that little bit extra to pay for holidays, kids, cars, this, that, the other. And
God, yes.
There's never enough.
No, there's never enough. You've got a great promotion coming up too. 6 weeks of education, material resources to help you compare, prepare for retirement. This is a great thing. And, gee, you're saving on this, Luke, aren't you?
Well, yeah, look, I think it's come back. We've had a lot of feedback about where do we go to find out these things and bring it all together.
Yeah.
So we've got a course that we're going to be kicking off in September. 6 weeks, hour a night, couple of glasses of wine. Well, can't say that. We'll have some cheese and biggies.
Okay.
And
a lemonade.
Yeah, exactly. Have a lemonade or two, and we'll talk through bringing all of this together, because you don't know what you don't know, and we say it all the time in the office. But it's a way to come in, have a health check, have access to our resources, and work through gaining enough knowledge to be able to look at what you've got to make sure you're preparing in time and not leaving it too late.
But you don't need to read it in a catalogue. You can go to you on these
days. We're going to run some very small 8 to 10 in the class. Open, throw the questions up, bring your stuff in, use us for 6 weeks, get as much information as you can, and carry on.
envisagefinancial.com.au/events. We're going to look after your kids and their future next week, I think.
Yeah, next week we're talking discretionary trusts.
Yeah, I'm interested in that one too.
You don't have to be a millionaire to have one of those.
No, you don't either. And Luke Smith from Envision Financial, you can contact him on 6260-4749. Go online if you want to book for this course, which starts in September, envisionfinancial.com.au/events. We'll see you next week.
Beautiful. See you next week.